Hello, this is Ron Horshefsky, the Executive Director of Orthopedic Surgery Incorporated. I'm joined here today by Rachel Gargano. She's a registered dietitian, and she has just opened up shop right down the street from us. So welcome, Rachel.
Thank you.
So can you start by telling us a little bit about what exactly a registered dietitian is and what they do?
Sure. A registered dietitian is someone who has undergone 4 years of an undergraduate degree in nutrition. And after that, they've actually gone through a year-long training at an accredited institution, such as a hospital, for example. And after that, they have to be licensed by taking a national exam. Only if you pass the exam can you call yourself a registered dietitian. And then in whatever state you live in, you also need to be licensed in that state to practice legally.
Okay, so it's much different than a nutritionist.
It is much different than a nutritionist. Pretty much anyone can call themselves a nutritionist.
Mm-hmm.
A nutritionist isn't licensed by the state boards or by government regulations. There's no oversight or regulation to the term nutritionist. And if you go and see one, there's really no guarantee of what that visit will be like. It's always good to ask someone what their true credentials are before you make an appointment.
Okay, so you're a registered dietitian, but you also have some specific credentials as well.
I do. I'm a board-certified specialist in sports dietetics. And dietitians can work in all different kinds of fields. For me, I am a consultant dietitian. I have my own private practice. And what I do is I can see clients with all different types of health and wellness goals. I could also write for the local or national publications, work with local community organizations and do speaking engagement, and so much more. So people with private practices, dietitians with private practices, have a whole slew of things that they can do.
All right, so you just opened up a practice on Maple Street.
I did, around the corner from
and
here.
As a registered dietitian, you're going to be targeting your work towards what population?
As a registered dietitian and a board-certified specialist in sports dietetics, part of my practice will be working with athletes. This could be athletes from all different kinds of sports, from endurance sports to strength, and also recreational athletes, those who just like to work out. I'll also work with other people who are interested in other health and wellness goals, but today let's really focus on sports nutrition and what that really means.
Sure.
Athletes need to sit down to the plate before they can step up to the win. As a sports dietitian, my primary goal is to provide individual and team nutrition coaching so that athletes can reach their peak performance both on and off the field or in and out of the gym. Athletes can work their hardest training to perfect their sport and increase their ability, but they won't achieve their best until they know how to fuel their body with the nutrients it needs to enhance their performance and for optimal recovery. Because nutrition doesn't just happen at the gym. Nutrition happens throughout the entire day. Athletes don't recover well if they don't provide their body with the carbohydrates, protein, vitamins, minerals, and antioxidants that are needed for recovery, their performance will definitely decline.
That's interesting. I think sometimes people think because they're working out that they don't have to eat as well. So you're saying exactly the opposite.
Right. Absolutely. Nutrition is an integral part of sports, of athletes reaching their goals. You know, every athlete has individual needs. An endurance runner's nutrition needs may be very different than an athlete who is focusing on strength and conditioning. Sports nutrition isn't a one-size-fits-all. The first thing I do when I sit down with a team or an individual athlete is I make sure I know what their goals are. Do they want to enhance their endurance? Do they want more speed? Are they looking to build muscle mass? Are they looking to reduce their body fat percent? All of these things will affect what recommendations I give them. The second thing I do is I make sure I know what their training routines are. How long do they spend in the gym? What is their training schedule like? What are competitions like? How much time do they have for recovery? So once I know what the athletes are going through and what their goals are, then I can start making recommendations on how to fuel for their best performance and for optimal recovery.
It's far more complicated than I would have anticipated. Can you just give me an example, perhaps, of how, say, a long distance athlete would differ from a strength type athlete?
Sure. So endurance athletes need different types of foods that they have to eat before, during, and after their training and their competitions. They need to make sure that they're fueling during those really long, stressful workouts to make sure that they can continue going without hitting that wall. Strength and conditioning are slightly different. They don't need to continue eating throughout their competition because their energy expenditure is different. But they do have to make sure that they're eating the appropriate amounts of protein and the appropriate amounts of carbohydrates so that they build those muscles that they want to build and so that they can condition their bodies to perform its best. The other things that may affect how different athletes perform is hydration. For example, athletes need to know when, how much, and what kind of fluids to drink for adequate hydration, because even just 1% dehydration can lead to poor performance in an athlete.
And sometimes it can be life-threatening.
Absolutely.
Right? In different situations.
Absolutely. So hydration is very important, especially when the summer months roll around and it's harder to tell how much you've been drinking and how much water loss you're actually going through, not just from sweat, but just from the insensible loss of water that you don't even notice.
Is there a common mistake that athletes make with their diet?
Many athletes think that just because they have worked out really hard, they can eat whatever they want after.
Yeah.
And this isn't just for,
that's,
you know,
me,
athletes.
By the way. That's...
It's with a lot of people.
Yeah.
It's also the recreational athletes, the
yeah.
people who are just working out. You know, I ran for an hour, I'm going to go have that ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that's a huge misconception. It's really important to know that even though you worked out really hard, your recovery is now starting. So it's time to make sure that your body is getting the nutrients it needs to build back those tears in the muscles, or to make sure that you have the antioxidants you need to reduce the internal inflammation that was caused by that heavy working out and all that stress that was put on the body. The other thing that I like to talk about is how to make food choices throughout the day. For example, what types of foods to buy, how to prepare these foods, because being told what to do and knowing how to do it are two completely different things, and I like to bridge that gap so that athletes can actually follow through and start affecting their performance for the better and start really recovering for the better. Now, the other thing, athletes may have different problems that it would benefit for them to see a sports dietitian. For example, they might get GI distress if they eat or drink certain things when they're working out. And I can work with those athletes to help them realize what foods can work with their GI system better. Because when you have problems with what you're eating or drinking, it can lead to poor performance. So we want to make sure that they're eating the right things to really fuel their body. The other thing is, if there's different food allergies or food intolerances, athletes may not know what to eat to really do their best. And the last set of people who may really benefit from a sports dietitian are the athletes who have chronic diseases. So diabetes, for example, cardiovascular risk factors. Maybe they have compromised bone health or a gluten sensitivity. These athletes really benefit from a personalized menu plan so that they know not only what to eat to get the nutrients their body needs on a daily basis and for healthy living, but also for those extra nutrients they need as an athlete.
Now, what about dietary supplements? Like, I know a lot of people have these big, huge canisters of protein powder. I'm sure you might have a strong stance on something like that.
I do. Supplements have their place. Let's start with general supplements like multivitamins or specific supplements such as vitamin C or vitamin D or perhaps iron. The body actually absorbs nutrients best from whole foods because scientists have found that, for example, lycopene is a really strong antioxidant. What manufacturers have done is said, let's put this in a pill and everyone will be better because they're getting all this lycopene. Well, it turns out that that lycopene doesn't work as well when it's alone like that because it works in partnership with all these other plant substances. So when it's taken out, it doesn't do the same thing for the body. So when you eat the whole tomato, you get more of the lycopene. You get mm-hmm. more of those benefits. And that goes with any supplement, like a multivitamin or some of the other supplements that I mentioned, like vitamin C. If your body doesn't need it, it's not going to absorb it. And not only that, they're not absorbed as well, so you're peeing out about 75% of your money.
Yes. Wow. Now, what about the protein? Mm-hmm. Is that the same thing goes with the protein mixes as well?
Protein is a little bit different. There are a couple different misconceptions about protein. Many athletes think that they need to have more protein to build more muscle, but that's not always the case. Protein powders do have their place, but there are a couple things to keep in mind. The first thing is that the body can only absorb between 20 and 30 grams of protein at a time. So if someone is sitting there drinking a protein shake that has 60 grams of protein, they're peeing out the rest of that protein. The other thing is that if you're relying only on protein shakes to get your protein, your body's not going to absorb it as well as it does from the whole food. So we do want to make sure that you get most of your protein from things like chicken, cheese, if you're a vegetarian or a flexitarian, tofu. Meat sources and plant sources that have good protein, you want to rely on those first. And then to supplement that, that's when the protein shake comes in to play. So most protein shakes say take 2 scoops. It's about 60 grams. I would say take 1 scoop in the morning and you're doing well, depending on if you need more, maybe the second scoop at night. But you definitely want to split it up.
So whole foods, stay away from processed foods because you're going to get the nutrients are going to work together much better.
Mm-hmm.
And what about corn syrup-based foods? I mean, there's a lot of them out there.
There are a lot of them out there. There's a lot of debate right now on whether corn syrup is as bad for you as some people are touting. So what I'm going to say right now is that if you stay away from most processed foods, things like the bagged candies, chips, cookies, things that are shelf stable and they're in the center of the grocery store. They're not around the perimeter. Around the perimeter, you've got your fruits, your vegetables, your dairy, your meats. You've got all those whole foods. And then you get to the center of the store, you've got all the packaged foods. Packaged foods are processed and they may have a lot of additional ingredients like high fructose corn syrup. Things that, you know, you can't even pronounce because they help keep the food shelf stable for a really long time. So those are the things you want to try to minimize. And in that way, you'll be minimizing the corn syrup and the added sugars that really aren't providing your body with any nutrients.
It sounds like there's an incredible amount of complexity to this. I was thinking that nutrition is a little bit more straightforward. You either eat right or you don't. So what is your recommendation for, say, if you're a high school athlete, college athlete, or anybody who's just trying to exercise and do the right thing for their body, what should they do? Should they come and see you and sit down for a consultation, or what do you recommend?
I definitely recommend that if you're an athlete who's very serious about your sport and you really want to excel and maybe go after those collegiate opportunities or perhaps eventually go pro, then yes, you definitely want to seek out a sports dietitian, someone with the credentialing to provide you with exactly what you need, an individual plan to get your body working at its best, both performance-wise and recovery-wise. If you're someone who you would like to eat better, you know that you'll feel better if you eat better, then, you know, there are lots of other opportunities out there. You could come in for just a general consult, get your diet on track, something not as intensive as what I would put the athletes through. And there's even some programs that I'll be putting together as a series. So different webinars that can be attended, and there are other opportunities out there to really get a good general sense of what you can do for your body and eat right.
All right, so your practice is located on 80 Maple Street, Suite 101. It's RG Nutrition Wellness, and you have a website.
I do.
www.rgnutritionandwellness.com, and I'll put that link on our website as well, so folks accessing this podcast will have the opportunity to visit your website. I have just a couple more questions for you. Can you say to somebody, if you eat better, it costs less too, or does it take more time? Is there a sacrifice financially or time-wise?
It depends on what kind of healthier eating you want to do. So if you just want to start eating well and increase your fruits and vegetables, increase the lean protein, make sure you're getting the healthy fats, then no, it doesn't have to cost more. Frozen vegetables without added fat and salt are just as good as fresh, and they're much less. Not only that, but beans are a great source of protein, and they're not expensive. They're much less expensive than buying, for example, beef or chicken. So if you swapped a couple of your days and you had a bean-centered dish versus a meat-centered dish, then you would actually be cutting out a lot from your food budget. If you're someone who would like to really go extremely healthy and eat all the organic and really make that commitment, then yes, the price may go up. Organic foods are more expensive than the traditionally grown foods, and it could put a pretty significant dent in your wallet. Personally, I don't eat all organic. I wash my fruits and vegetables with a spray bottle that I fill with half water and half white vinegar. I rub them vigorously under the water, and that'll get rid of a lot of the pesticides and a lot of the bacteria. I make my sacrifice because eating the fruits and vegetables is more important than worrying about the pesticides, because there's more positive benefits than there are negative at this point.
Yeah, I think a lot of people will tend to try to eat a whole lot less when they start an exercise routine, so that maybe that creates an imbalance. Is that true?
Interestingly enough, people do try to eat less when they start to exercise, but sometimes they're not eating as much less as they actually think. Exercise boosts your hunger, and so people may end up eating more and making up for that calorie deficit, so they're actually not losing weight. They may be getting more physically fit, but they may not be losing weight. So tracking your calories and making sure you're not adding in all those extra snacks is a great way, if your goal is weight loss, to reach your goal.
Well, is there anything else that you'd like to add?
Well, I just love to thank you for having me.
Sure.
This has been a really fun afternoon. And I also, you know, since we were talking about sports nutrition, want to say how much I love working with athletes. Their motivation to succeed and be their best in their sport is truly inspiring. And I love helping them achieve their sporting goals through positive nutrition practices. And it's really exciting and rewarding.
That's great. Well, you know, as an orthopedic practice that treats a lot of sports medicine patients, and we have a physical therapy, occupational therapy, it's nice to work closely with somebody like you who can take care of another aspect of athletes that I think sometimes might not be fully appreciated. So hopefully people take advantage of reaching out to RNG Nutrition and Wellness, 80 Maple Street, Suite 101, and see Rachel. She'll take good care of you. Thanks for coming, Rachel.
Thank you so much.